You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Rogue Valley Community TV has been a longtime media asset in the region, more than 30 years. More recently, Southern Oregon University added an 8,500 square foot digital media center, which has been recognized for the last two consecutive years by Movie Maker Magazine as one of the top 30 programs in the country and the only one in Oregon to make the list. Joining me in the studio is the director of both RVTV and the Digital Media Center at SOU, Brandon Givens. Welcome to the Exchange.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
You brought with you a couple of students. Would you mind introducing them?
Absolutely. I'm going to start with the upperclassman. That is Justin Crawford. Justin has been at the DMC as a student and as a DMC student employee for almost every year that he's been a student, actually. I think he started volunteering as a freshman production assistant and has done a little bit of everything and is in our equipment checkout office and helps with productions of all sorts that we will contract out for or help on campus or even with off-campus clients.
Welcome to the Exchange, Justin.
Nice to be here.
And we're also joined by a freshman. I wanted to bookend kind of the student experience. And so we have a new freshman student that is just getting comfortable at the Digital Media Center and has already taken a number of production classes, and that's Samantha Reynolds.
It's nice to be here.
Thanks for joining us. And I'll get to you two in a minute, but we're going to start with understanding what the Digital Media Center is and your role as director, Brandon.
Sure. The Digital Media Center evolved out of what was kind of a simple community media cable access station known as RVTV. RVTV still exists in most of its original forms, but being a partnership with the cities and the counties of the region and SOU, it felt kind of odd that it wasn't the natural home for media-making students. And so about 15 years ago, I worked with the then Associate Provost Sue Walsh and comm professor Eric Palmer, and we said we want to redevelop this into a more student-centric program. And so then the Digital Media Center was born. There were alterations to that original building to provide more classroom and lab space, and we started strategizing new programs where students helped manage the operations, helped operate the building's checkout resources, and where students had kind of a home to do all their work for these film and video and media classes. And so additional services that came online were production services that we could offer to the campus to stream events, to record talks or games, or oftentimes a presidential message. But then we offered those services to the greater community. So we've contracted out with Crater Lake National Park, with the Ashland Chamber of Commerce, with Southern Oregon Sports Commission, just a variety of different clients. And that's led by staff at the DMC, but students really do a lot of the work on that, and they get to take the lead in certain department roles.
Well, for the second consecutive year, Movie Maker Magazine has named SOU's Digital Cinema Program as one of the top 30 film schools in the United States and Canada. What does that mean to you?
That's huge, because my thing when they kind of gave me the mantle of guiding the ship at the DMC and at RVTV was, as an alum, it was really important for me for the students to really drive that and to have it be their home for our student filmmakers. And so I'm prioritizing great resources, good gear, looking for new opportunities and ways to upgrade the facility as well as just the program at large every single year with something significant or some partnership with corporations or companies, professional organizations. And in partnership with a really great group of faculty in that digital cinema program, which going way back included people like Howard Schreiber, but also when Andrew Gay, the current dean of the College of Arts and Humanities here at SOU, when he came online and really wanted to make a formal major out of digital cinema, that's when things really started to take off on the academic level. And now we find ourselves a very sought-after program in filmmaking for film students. And yes, we're really honored to have that distinction now 2 years in a row. And we feel like we're kind of the premier place in the state of Oregon, if not the Northwest.
It certainly sounds like it.
Film students, yeah.
Well, the magazine specifically highlighted your, quote, distinct blend of hands-on training and industry partnerships, end quote. Tell me more about both.
Yeah, it's a great thing to highlight because, for instance, we work with our regional governments to provide all their government television. We are like the C-SPAN of Southern Oregon through the RVTV program. Students are involved in that, whether it's monitoring channels, helping out with special events. Or like I said, when we have those production partnerships with, say, Crater Lake National Park, and students are deploying up to the park to produce informational videos, mini documentaries, if you will. It's a great opportunity for students. But we have a strong community of filmmakers in Southern Oregon. We have a really strong professional alliance here called Film Southern Oregon. They're very active. They advocate for state support of filmmaking. They advocate for productions to come to Southern Oregon. And so despite our small area, we really punch above our weight in that regard. And I think the students benefit from the work that we hire out to do for both the campus and the community, and then the resources that then we can fold back into the facility and the program. And it is very hands-on. We are not just a film studies program at SOU. That digital cinema program is really practical application. And students can get kind of a generalized BABS, or they can get a BFA, and they have to, for instance, they have to make a senior capstone film. And our senior here is working on almost half a dozen of those senior capstone films right now this term.
I want to piggyback on the point that you just made. How does the Digital Media Center facilitate a connection between the students and professional organizations like, you mentioned, Film Southern Oregon and the Ashland Independent Film Festival?
Good, yeah. So we have always been a big supporter of the Ashland Independent Film Festival. So every year we will partner with them to help create media in support of the festival, capturing events, capturing photos, capturing video. We have live streamed their preview night in the past, their awards ceremony. Really at the peak of the festival, pre-COVID, it was huge. Multiple venues all over town. They filled the Ashland Historic Armory for their award show, and we would stream a lot of those events as well as deploy students to just cover media to get photos and videos and highlights, as well as try to connect them with student volunteers that can then work and learn inside of a film festival by assisting with volunteer coordination, ticketing, you name it. And Film Southern Oregon, that professional organization, we've hosted events for them. They will contact us when they have entry-level or intern-type roles available on films or productions. But even beyond the area, we have tried to build partnerships with some of the larger kind of manufacturers and corporations that provide equipment and resources, including software, cameras, you name it, to the filmmaking community. And I like to highlight our partnership with Canon because they've been a huge supporter of our program by providing cameras and lenses to our student film festival award winners. They provide us seating funds, so they give us free gear. If they have loaner equipment, they just gifted us 30 lenses. So it's a huge benefit to our program to have that kind of corporate support as well. And so I like to shout out Canon. But they're not the only one. We've had good support from Blackmagic, from Arri, which makes they're really the preeminent manufacturer of the top-end digital cinema cameras and lights in the world for films and television. Even Adobe has been somewhat supportive with educational offerings and things like that. So part of our mission at the DMC is to build those relationships, grow them, and always expand kind of our portfolio of partners that can benefit SOU and the students that SOU serves.
My guests are Brandon Givens, director of RVTV and SOU's Digital Media Center, and his two students, Justin Crawford and Samantha Reynolds. So let's turn to both of you. Justin, as the SOU Film Club president, how has access to all of this state-of-the-art gear that Brandon was talking about at the Digital Media Center, how has that influenced the types of projects that your club takes on?
I think it allows the people making projects for Film Club a lot more available to them, and they can just do it in a day or over a week. In Film Club, I try to host at least two Film Club challenges a term, a really long one that runs over a week, and then one that runs over like a day or two. Such as this week, we actually have a 24-hour challenge happening on Friday. And what we're going to do is we're going to keep the DMC open a little bit longer past open or when they close, and we're going to use the equipment that we have at checkout, which is a lot of equipment we have there.
So tell me about you as president. What led you to become president of this club? How did you even get involved in it?
In my freshman year, there was the Halloween short contest that was I think the second iteration of it. And that was, this is a very fun project. You just get to work on a week of just a horror short. And I was like, I want to be more involved in film club. So I started talking to the president and I was like, this is really fun. I want to be more involved. And later into my sophomore year, I became a board member on film club. And then in my sophomore and junior year, I became the president of film club. And the years prior to me, there wasn't really much, I guess, action in the film club. And I wanted more projects to be made in film club, just to give people a chance to have, like, projects that aren't, like doesn't have, like, that much requirements of, like, a class does, like, a time limit, just less limits than what classes would offer.
Okay. And how many people are in the club?
Currently, there's 8 officers, and we have 8 to, like, 12 active members who go actively to every meeting, but the Halloween short contest screening will bring in 40 to 60 people to go watch it in the Meese Auditorium. There's about, I think at the Halloween short contest, it's about 5 groups of people that normally do it, 5 to 6, which is probably 20 student people just making films. Yeah, it attracts a lot of people.
And what's your major?
Digital cinema production arts, the concentration of sound design.
Okay. And Samantha, this is your first year.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it. What's your experience been like?
This has been, like, genuinely one of, like, the most awesome things to, like, ever see ever. When coming from, like, a high school that didn't really have anything with film and only had, like, theater and stuff, when I knew I wanted to go into film, I was really, like, starving for it. I really wanted to be involved in that and, like, whatever the process was and all that, like, experience. So when I came to SOU and I took the first few film classes my first term, and I was, like, learning about film and, like, jobs, and I was in the studio class that Brandon taught, and I was learning about, like, what a studio is and cameras and lighting and sound, which to me wasn't entirely foreign because I did theater, but this was not theater lights and sound and cameras, it was film, which was, like, a whole new world, and it was so exciting to get to basically, like, see my life start to begin of what I want to do for the rest of my life, to start getting into that, like, field and have access to so much, like, amazing equipment and so many fun projects and, like, constant things from, like, the film club or constant classes that you can take. It was really exciting to be able to just do everything that I ever wanted, basically.
So you came from storytelling on the stage to now learning the mechanics of storytelling in film.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you come from?
I came from Grants Pass, Oregon, which is just about, like, 40 minutes from here. It's super close by. And I did theater at my high school, which we have a pretty good theater program. And I already knew a lot about Ashland because Ashland is also very prominent for theater with Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And the theater at SOU is also really good. So I've come up here a few times to see some shows and stuff. But I hadn't quite learned about film until my last year of high school, when I was really figuring out where I wanted to go to college, because I knew I wanted to do film, but I still didn't know where to go to college yet.
And what are you majoring in?
I'm also majoring in digital cinema.
Okay. So, Brandon, I know that there are more exciting changes coming. There's been a $40 million bond approved.
Yeah. So, actually, been working on this one since before the pandemic. They kind of hope to rehabilitate the SOU Music Building and reimagine that into a more comprehensive space add-on that we've kind of referred to as the Creative Industries Project or Creative Industries Campus. And it makes sense because it's in proximity to this building that we're in right now, which houses the SOU Theater Program as well as JPR. That project was approved in the last legislative session in 25. So fingers crossed, everything keeps going well. It should bond out in 27. And in a perfect world, maybe we get to move into a new space in 2030. But as we all know, construction projects can change in terms of their timeline. But that's what we hope for. That would afford us the ability to kind of reimagine our spaces in concert with the existing music building, which is in need of some really significant upgrades to be brought up to, you know, modern standards. To have all of that concentrated on this end of campus would be just so beneficial for students and the creative community.
I'm going to ask you to hold it right there because we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want you to finish that thought. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. I'm joined here in the studio by Brandon Givens. He's the director of Rogue Valley Community TV and SOU's Digital Media Center. And he's brought with him two students. Justin Crawford is president of the SOU Film Club, and Samantha Reynolds is a first-year student at SOU and member of the Digital Media Center. So before the break, we were talking about renovations, the opportunity for a creative, what did you call it?
The Creative Industries campus.
What specific upgrades are you most excited about?
That's a great question because there's a couple really central things. The space that we have now, we have really utilized to the maximum of our ability and to the maximum of its capacity. But if we had to do it over again, we would do things differently. You know, it was set up at a time when a lot of more analog equipment, which was larger and had more power consumption, that sort of thing. And with the growth of our student productions, we need some more space for those production spaces as well. So what we're looking at and what we're hoping to design is a larger studio space, but something new that the campus currently does not have and would be very beneficial to the campus programs as well as hopefully the larger community. And that is a really state-of-the-art screening space. There's really not a suitable space on campus to truly screen films at the quality they deserve. That's something that would be very attractive to visiting filmmakers as well. If we want to bring in those really big-name influential filmmakers to speak to our students, we want to be able to show their films properly. And we'd love to be able to partner with other organizations around the community to bring events in terms of the world of film to campus. It would be beneficial for everyone. And so a centerpiece of this new construction is going to be a really nice, we might call it a small cinema, around 100 seats, but with really, really great sound and picture properly set up.
Okay, so when you say it's beneficial, you're saying it's a revenue generator.
I think there is absolutely potential for it to be a revenue generator. But obviously the first mission is really proper instructional spaces for our students. And that's where they can screen films for studies as well as present their own material. But again, you know, that desire to be an attractive spot for filmmakers to bring their work, screen it both for educational purposes and potentially for revenue generating purposes.
Okay. So Justin and Samantha, a major highlight of the program is this crew experience where students spend an entire term collaborating on a specific or a significant film project. Have you participated in this?
Yes. I have technically been in two crew experiences. I was enrolled in the second crew experience offered, which was catch and release. And then I was I volunteered to be the van grip driver person for the second one, which was
an extraordinary year.
Yeah, extraordinary year. Yeah. Which is directed by
written and directed by
Gary Lundgren.
Gary Lundgren, yeah. Yeah. Notable area filmmaker.
So Catch and Release. Tell me about that film.
Catch and Release was the second made crew experience, directed by Courtney Williams. And so I think it was written by Courtney Williams too. It's kind of just a all hands-on 12-credit class that for a whole term you just shoot and you pre-production, you shoot, and then it is edited, hopefully in the same term, just a giant 15 to 20-minute film. It was really hard to do. There was a lot of long days on that set. It was really fun, though, I will say. I was the key grip for it.
And Samantha, have you experienced this yet?
I have not gotten the chance to yet. No, sadly, with this being my first year, I've been trying to prioritize a lot of the other classes I don't want to take in my like junior and senior years so I can just do film later on in college.
Okay, so tell me about your most memorable experience thus far.
Probably what we're doing right now. I'm in class 216. What's the name of the class?
Intro to Studio Production.
Our class 216 is right now helping the soap opera class put on a soap opera, 3 episodes. And this has genuinely been like so awesome and fun. It genuinely reminds me of when I was doing like plays and stuff in theater. And I'm getting a lot of the same thrill of that being a techie for it. And I'm having a lot of fun. And I genuinely feel like I'm in the space I want to be in for the rest of my life. And it's so exciting to get that, like, to work with so many people and make friendships and to learn things about, like, the technical stuff of it all, but also, like, how tech and actors work together on film.
That is amazing. Brandon, how does that make you feel that you are managing and stewarding an environment that students love so much they take it with them for the rest of their life?
Well, I'm an SOU alum. of the radio, television, and film program, as it was called in the 90s, and had the opportunity to work with some cool professionals. I love to talk about my cinematography professor, who is Gerald Hirschfeld, and he's pretty well known in Ashland. He and his wife retired here. He's the director of photography for Young Frankenstein, and he was a very intense guy to work with on set. But man, the experiences that I took from those classes where we were on set and we were in production and it was crunch time and we were doing long days, I'll never forget them. It really informed my work ethic later in the industry. And so to be able to at least partially provide for that for the students that I work with is awesome. And also a big driving force for me is I want them to have better stuff than we had access to when we were college students. Certainly technology's gotten a lot better, so much better. But even with that said, I really want to see Ashland and particularly SOU be a really premier place for students to learn to work in film and television.
And speaking of that, Justin, how close are you to graduation?
I'm one more term away.
One more term away. So SOU graduates, and Brandon spoke to this, they're known to be part of the heart of working crews in Oregon's $9 billion creative sector. How do you and your peers in the film club approach networking to ensure that you're part of these statistics after graduation?
Like Brandon talked about earlier, there's the Film Southern Oregon whole group that exists. They have a monthly, and the first Wednesday of every month, a Cameras and Cocktails, which is just a giant networking event for Southern Oregon and everybody who kind of just lives in the area. And the students do try to make their presence be known there, and we go over there and talk to some of the people over there. I actually have gotten some gigs from that, from Greg Franklin. I was an extra for him, and I'll hopefully be on a project over the summer with him.
Okay. Well, Samantha, I know that SOU is known for putting cameras in students' hands early on, and you're early. Tell me about your experience moving here and diving right in and getting all this equipment just put into your hands.
It is exactly what I had wanted, like exactly what I had wanted. When I was still in high school and I was figuring out where to go, I originally didn't even want to go to college, but SOU was the only thing that piqued my mind because of its film program and because I saw that they had film. And when I asked more about it, I was like, wow, this is a really good program. Seems like this would be really great for what I want to accomplish. And I was a little worried at first that it would be like high school because I had no experience of college yet. I had only had high school classes, and I was worried that it would be like a lot of sitting in class and taking notes and not really getting to see anything. You just have to take tests and memorize. But that's like the exact opposite of any single film class I have taken yet. It's all of it is immediately like, let's get this equipment in your hands as fast as possible. Let's have you use it. Because I definitely think that at the film program here, you can learn a lot more from just touching the equipment and like using it than from sitting in a class and reading a textbook back to front on the equipment you're using. And I genuinely think that's like the best thing for not just me, but for so many students, considering film is only hands-on, really.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Brandon Givens, director of RVTV and SOU's Digital Media Center, and his two students, Justin Crawford and Samantha Reynolds. Now, Samantha, this Digital Media Center offers several concentrations, from social media and public engagement to digital cinema. So now you're beginning your studies. What areas are speaking to you?
I want to do directing more than anything ever. That was at least the one thing I got to do in high school. I directed a lot of plays and even a musical, and I was able to really get my hands on bringing a story to life. And that was really fun to get to do on a stage, but I immediately knew that I wanted to do directing for movies and to be able to bring stories to life on a screen for anybody to see. So I already know that that's already what I want to do. Maybe plans will change, but I'm a pretty stubborn person, so there's a pretty good chance I'll follow through on directing till the end.
Sounds like you know where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Justin, Movie Maker magazine calls Ashland a, quote, cinematographer's dream. How does living in a town ranked so highly as a place to live and work as a movie maker affect your creative output?
I do find a lot of creative, I guess, muses while driving around in Ashland, like the areas around Ashland. It's like up Dead Indian Memorial Road. There's like a really cool pullout place. You can like see the whole town, the whole lights. And I was like, this is a really beautiful place to shoot something here. And I've recommended people to go over there and just like shoot things. And I've seen some things.
I didn't know you were the sound guy.
Yeah.
So that really, for me, it takes it to a different level. And I'll tell you why. If you mute sound, you get a completely different experience that seems a bit empty. It is the sound that really brings everything to life. You have an extremely important job.
I mean, I've seen a lot of things that are like, we'll take away the sound of this like certain clip and you'll see how it just, how differently it feels. And I do think sound is the other half of the picture because it just changes everything about it.
Well, I've talked about this in both my film studies classes and in the production classes, and I'm not a sound guy. I'm more of a visual person, at least in terms of my expertise. But we will show examples, and if the sound is bad, the audience will not tolerate it. But they might, if the sound is really good, they might tolerate something that's out of focus for too long, or the image is kind of muddy, or it's dark. Then they'll stick with it. But if the sound is bad, or even worse, if the sound is grating and abrasive, an audience is going to tune out. They're going to turn it off. They're going to walk out. You got to have good sound. So Justin has virtually guaranteed himself a job post-graduation because you always need sound people.
Well, we've got a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to ask you this. SOU is a member of the Green Film School Alliance, and apparently you guys have reduced the Digital Media Center's energy use by 75%.
In terms of our production lighting, yes. We can't control every bit of energy consumption in the entirety of our building. And of course, a new building would mean we get to really take a comprehensive look at how that's going. Any new construction at SOU is going to try to be LEED certified, I assume. But for our end of it, we worked with a number of campus programs to redo our lighting grid. For instance, that was a couple years ago. State-of-the-art LED lighting made by Aerie. It's safer, it's cooler, and it uses way less power than the traditional incandescent stage fixtures. You see that happening all over the industry. We just feel like we're way out in front of it in terms of higher ed institutions. And I do want to thank the Institute for Applied Sustainability, the Oregon Center for the Arts, and ASSOU Students Green Fund, because they all helped contribute to that upgrade, as well as the corporation Aerie gave us a tremendous, tremendous break on cost for that. And it's absolutely benefited our production classes in myriad ways. And instead of 22 large bright fixtures generating heat from those incandescent bulbs, it's just LEDs and they generate almost no heat. And they use, about 75% less power than a traditional fixture. So we're saving power with the light output, but we're just not using the air conditioning as much.
SOU is a campus culture of sustainability.
Absolutely.
Tell me, why is teaching sustainable production practices a priority for this program?
I think there's two things there. We must do it. And I think the industry itself recognizes that they must do it. But traditionally, a film production can be a little wasteful. They can roll in and just be like, well, we got to get this done. So we're drinking the plastic water bottles. We're making a mess. Everything's kind of fast and loose. It used to be. And that is not the case so much in today's industry. Most companies have taken great steps to reduce their footprint, particularly when they're on location. But also, if it's in their own facilities, in their own studios, they want to save money, too. They don't want to use all that electricity and crank up those costs. But we really want our students to practice what we preach. We have developed these kits. We call them safety and sustainability kits that we're wanting our capstone films and our bigger student projects to make sure they use when they have these fairly elaborate productions where they're on location for multiple days. It's like, bring your recycling bin. Bring a water jug and you guys have your own personal water bottles to refill with. And then safety materials if they need masks or high-vis or anything like that if they're operating near a street or things like that. So we take safety very seriously. It's really the number one thing we want students to consider when they're on set. But then sustainability is a really big one for us because we want those footprints to be really low.
Okay, well, we've got to run. For community members who are listening but aren't students, how can they get involved with the Digital Media Center or submit work to RVTV? Very quickly.
Oh, great question. Yeah. So if you are a business, a nonprofit, a community group, and you feel like you have a project that really should be on community television, you can contact us and we can see if there's a way to get that produced. We do have to charge for those services because we pay our staff, we pay our students, we have our overhead, but we do whatever we can for generating content that's good for the community. If you are a creator of your own stuff and you would like to see it on RVTV's channels, we have an entire channel dedicated for citizen-generated content. That's called RVTV Voices. If you own the rights to the content you're creating, it doesn't include a bunch of other intellectual property, submit it for programming. We'd love to have it.
Okay. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
My guests were Brandon Givens, director of RVTV and SOU's Digital Media Center, along with Justin Crawford, president of the SOU Film Club, and Samantha Reynolds, a first-year SOU student.